Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
And welcome to another edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins. And tonight's show should be an interesting one. We have one guest, but that one guest has a lot to say, I'm sure, and that is Rick Michaels. You ever seen this guy? You ever heard of him, Matt?
Once or twice. I've been in places where he was. I don't know a lot about him. I think he's a relative newcomer to the scene.
Well, in some sense, he is, yes. He just returned, what was it, in June?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think anybody that's ever followed Georgia wrestling in any capacity has heard his name at least. So he is the new Pro Wrestling Resurrection heavyweight champion. He's half of the Peach State Wrestling Alliance Tag Team Champions with Stoney Hooker, once known as, I forget his name on SmackDown when Ryback.
Yeah, it's gone from my mind, too. It was goofy
Stan
as all Stansky. Hell. I know
wasn't he Stan Stansky?
That's the one.
But, oddly enough, those are relatively insignificant things when talking about someone like Rick Michaels and everything he's done in 20-plus years, I believe it is.
And I hope we can get into a lot of that tonight. Because, I mean, we joke, obviously. We know who Rick Michaels is, and I'm sure everybody listening to this probably has seen him at some point. But, I mean, there's a lot about Rick that I think most of us don't know. Like, some of the things that he's done is absolutely incredible. You really start adding it all up. You're like, this guy's done everything forever.
Yeah.
And doesn't seem to age much.
No. I guess that's a good point. And, all right, so I don't know if he wrestled any over the weekend, but did you get to see any shows this weekend, Matt?
No, it was the first weekend I didn't see a single I saw one wrestling hold, and it was with Michael Fanning, defensive end for Alabama, German suplex to Missouri running back. That was all the wrestling I saw until late last night when I caught a little bit of the end of the TNA.
Yeah, well, I think Bound for Glory was the extent of my wrestling viewing over the weekend.
It's got to be a first, man. First in a long time, for sure.
Yeah. But
I didn't read the Anarchy report that Larry put together for everyone. So an odd show. It was their go-home, but there's a lot of names on there that I didn't recognize at all.
Yeah, I read over it, which, for those interested, you can read that at gwhnews.com. He sounded like he thought it was a really good go-home show, but like you said, I was reading over it, and I was just kind of like, where did this match come from? And
But he's right. They've been just hit with the injury bug and this bug and that bug, so they're kind of piecing things together. But I think, for the most part, though, their Fright Night card is held together fairly well, so, and it looks to be stacked as always. That barbed wire thing that they're doing with the Elite and then Slim J and Israel is going to be a bloodbath. I mean, barbed wire match is going to be a bloodbath anyways, but with the people that's in that match, it's really going to get nasty.
Yeah. Yes, it will. And that is on the 27th. And Strychnine actually asked me today if he could call in next week to talk about that. He's got a match against, I believe, he's going for the Young Lions title.
Yes.
Yeah, so that should be a good match. And also, I think this Friday, he's got a Alternative Pro Wrestling's big show. Anthony Henry.
Yes.
Who have been battling for months over the Southern States Championship, have one last match, and the loser leaves APW, so I'm sure he'll have plenty to talk about on Monday when he calls in.
he is finally officially partnerless, I guess. I think Danny finally got on the big plane.
Yeah, it looks like it from his Facebook status updates.
A little while in the making, but it did happen. Best of luck to him. Jesus Christ, that's a long way to go to work. That's a commute right there.
I guess that's why he's not coming back for a while.
I would assume so. Yeah. But for what we missed this weekend, I think everybody was kind of laying low for the most part because the next 2 weeks are just jam-packed. You got Peach State's big show. I guess it's their first show in a month or so this weekend, and that card is lined up pretty well. They've got that giant battle royal in a cage thing that I don't know is either going to be really good or really bad. It could go either way. I don't know how anybody's going to escape with all those bodies in there, but I'm sure somebody will pull it off. And then I guess you get Bull and Dusty in the cage as well. So, yeah. And if I believe right, I believe Marco Polo makes his Peach State debut as well.
I think I saw that, yeah.
Which will be followed the next week by his UIW debut at the big show there. So, yeah, time to get back in business. And PCW returns this weekend in Porterdale. And from what we assume, the Demigod will be in a title match. I don't know if it's technically considered a handicap with his new knot. the quarto that he now has on his head. I don't know if that counts as anything, but against this mysterious fifth column. So, yeah, we took a week off, but it's time to get back to action next this go-around.
Yeah, and there's also TNA will be in Macon on October 20th, which is Saturday, which for those who may remember from last year, they were in Macon right after Bound for Glory, I think a week or so after, and did an Impact taping, and that was where Bobby Roode turned.
Storm?
Yeah, broke a bottle over James Storm's head. And honestly, I think that was about the point when TNA's shows started getting a lot better.
That was kinda where the big run kind of started. Yeah, Roode won the belt at those shows, did he not?
He won it, yeah. Roode lost to Kurt Angle at Bound for Glory. And then James Storm got the shot.
Storm won the belt, yeah.
At the first Impact taping. They did two tapings in one night. So he won the title, and then in the second half of the show, Roode broke the bottle over his head, and I believe he left with the title. So in one night, James Storm won and lost the title.
And that ran until basically last night.
Yeah, well,
minus
you know,
a little here and there, but some
they got off on their other tangents over the last year, and then it all came full circle. So got to wonder if that'll continue when they come back. So they're in Macon on Saturday and in Savannah on Sunday. But these are not TV tapings, obviously, because they do those live now.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there? Global Championship Wrestling, which I believe is running up in Canton, has a show on Saturday.
New management.
That is a different one. It's not North Georgia Wrestling Alliance. Yeah. But they have another show, or they just had one this weekend, I think, if I read correctly. And then Sunday is PWR, so I guess Rick Michaels will have some things to say about that. Speaking of, I believe he is now calling, so I guess we'll get right into that.
Ruh-roh.
What's up, guys?
Rick Michaels. Yes.
Well, this thing said I was now in the host's queue, so I don't know what the heck that meant, but I guess I am now in you guys' queue. So I've never been talked to so politely in all my life. So
that lady really is nice, Rick. She welcomes me in every week, and I thank her for it.
How you guys doing tonight?
Spooktacular, Rick Michaels. Just wonderful.
Well, that's awesome. Before we get started, I need to do this one thing. I need to say this. www.facebook.com/WrestleWare. There you go. Got that plug out of the way.
Is that you?
Yep, that's my gear site. So, any and everybody needing some gear, hit that Facebook up, and if you know my phone number, call me. Well, don't call me, text me, because I hate talking on the phone. So,
and do you cater to the ample size gentleman, Rick?
You know what?
To the plus size male.
Sir, I cater to anybody with a plastic credit card or paper money. If you've got dollar signs, I got fabric. Somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago. They said, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "I'm a magician." They said, "You're a magician?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I take fabric and turn it into paper."
Well, that's a good jumping off point, Rick, because I'd mentioned, you know, kind of getting out some of the things that people might not know about you. Can you tell us a little about, like, how that started and where that took you, where that skill with that needle took you?
Oh, Lord. Let's see. Well, it all started when I first started. I was very anti wearing the same outfit all the time. So I had my mom make my stuff, and it was practically every weekend I had her making something new. And then, of course, when NWA Wildside was started, I had some of the guys wanted some gear, and my mom had a car accident, and her health wasn't doing good, so she taught me how to do it, and I started sewing, making gear for guys, and then Bill Behrens, who I was working with at NWA Wildside, he hooked me up with TNA, and I was doing gear for them when the company first started. And then I went from, Bill had got me hooked up doing a dark match at Phillips Arena in Atlanta, and I was talking to the girls, Julie and Terry, who still work for WWE doing the seamstress stuff. I talked to them, and they were like, "Hey, would you like to work here?" And I was like, "Yeah." So I had sent in a portfolio and some samples of gear, and you know how in the world they hired me, I don't know, because the stuff I guess it was good then, but look back on it now, it was god awful. But I guess God was on my side. I had quit TNA just because I'd gotten fed up with guys not paying me, and it just wasn't fun anymore. So I had quit there. 3 weeks later, I got a call from John Laurinaitis and went to Chicago and was there for a year and a half making gear. And I learned so much from those girls, and I'm still doing it to this day. I love it. It's therapeutic.
Imagine you might have needed that a time or two in your life just to be able to sit down.
Yeah, God knows I have needed some therapeutic time. but yeah, I was really to get that connection and have that opportunity. You know, I definitely would have liked to have stayed there a lot longer, but you know, as things happen, it didn't quite work out. But yeah, I still stay in contact with people there, and you know, it was a good part of my life that, you know, I got to live a dream and travel all over the world, and I worked for WWE, and so many guys can't say they did that. So you know, I got to do it, and you know, I give full credit to my mom for teaching me, and Bill Behrens for getting me the connections. So,
Rick, as someone who was also wrestling while you were doing that, when you worked for WWE, were you allowed to wrestle independently or anything?
I was, for some strange reason, when they signed my contract, I was put in the, Rick Michaels was in the contract too, so I couldn't, I had to ask for their permission to do it. And the only place that I ever wrestled was occasionally I would do it because I'd already had my injury by this point. But I occasionally wrestled on a Saturday at Wildside, but I mainly just worked the Friday night shows that I was doing. It was kind of a little, the whole Friday thing was kind of a little competition with me and Bill. Bill was mainly writing all the stuff for the Saturday Wildside shows, and then I would try to, you know, one-up him and run on the Friday night family show. So it was almost like, you know, Bill and I's little joke was it was our Raw and SmackDown. So we kind of fought each other. It was, you know, it was fun times. But yeah, they let me do that. So, but and then of course when I started with TNA, I wasn't wrestling for TNA, and I rode to almost every show with Bill, and Bill and I would always joke, be like, you know, one of these days, Rick, you're going to be sitting at the sewing machine in your wrestling gear, working on gear, getting ready to go wrestle. And sure enough, I actually did that at one of the shows for TNA. I think Chris Michaels and I were tagging against James Storm and Chris Harris, and I was up there in my wrestling gear finishing some tights for Crowbar or something. But Bill was right, because I actually was sitting in my gear sewing before I went and wrestled. It was hilarious.
What was that process like being backstage at those shows? Did you guys just come up and say, hey, I got this idea, you know, you got 2 hours, go? Was that kind of thing, or was it more?
Well, for the most part, when I was at the shows, for the most part, both WWE and TNA, when I was at the show, I was usually either repairing something or altering something or ironing or cutting, you know, or working on something. I didn't actually. There was very few times. There was a few times where WWE and TNA would come up and say, "Hey, we need this for the show tonight." And I would knock it out, you know, real quick. But for the most part, it was always take the orders and then work on it at the house, and then, you know, bring it. I like to go to work and do less is more, you know, just not have to rush around and finish stuff. I'd rather work at home than work on the road. So that's what I did.
Now, but we're going to get to.
Go ahead.
We're going to get to everything you're doing now, I promise you. But one thing that I'm super interested in, I guess, was that the Asylum days of TNA?
Well, the first show that we did, we were in the Birmingham. I think it was Birmingham, Alabama, wherever their very first pay-per-view is, where the ring broke.
It was Huntsville.
Huntsville. Okay, yeah. Huntsville.
And
that
was a young Matt Hankins sitting with comp tickets. Way up in the nosebleeds.
Oh wow! Yeah, it was. That was just the most chaotic. I mean, that was literally probably the most chaotic thing I had ever done, because I took the entire shop to Huntsville, Alabama, and they gave me like this banquet room, and I had all my sewing machines set up and all my. It was chaotic, and people were coming to me needing this and needing that, and I was so overwhelmed by what was going on. But what was your original question, Matt? I'm sorry.
It was the Asylum days. How was that? That was my favorite time of TNA. Because I was at their first show, and I really liked those shows. I mean, I don't think a lot of people noticed the talent that was coming through there then. And I just thought those days were great.
Well, I mean, anybody that knows me knows first and foremost that Rick Michaels is a ginormous, huge mark. I eat, sleep, breathe, and crap this wrestling business. I love it. I can look at it from a fan standpoint. I can look at it from somebody involved in the business. Every aspect, I've always wanted to learn every detail about anything that has to pertain to the wrestling industry. And the Asylum days for me were fantastic. Probably one of my favorite places to to ever work was at the Asylum, the Tennessee Fairgrounds. That's probably one of my favorite places, any place I've ever wrestled, just because of the fans were, you know, so responsive to what we were doing. And, you know, I had a year-long feud with James Storm, and it was just – and we had great chemistry and great matches, and Bert really pushed us to the moon, and I loved working for Bert Prentice. He was a great promoter to work for. And – then, you know, switching to the, you know, being in there with TNA and then getting to work those few shows for TNA was great. But when they would bring in guys like the Road Warriors and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Dusty, and I mean, it was insane. You know, I know that they call I kind of followed some stuff on the internet, and I know they call a lot of slack for bringing in those guys and all that, and, you know, blah blah, they're old and all this shit. And oop, can I say shit on this?
You, yeah, I guess say, I can it, say whatever shit. You want.
Okay. But yeah, it was great. I mean, the Asylum days were absolutely, you know, it was great. You know, and like you said, I don't think that they realized the people that were coming through that building about what huge stars that they were and would be in the future.
Blonde-haired CM Punk was around in that time.
Yep.
Just a lot of guys. Ron Killens was the champion for a little while. You had the Jarrett's. Raven was involved heavily. But, you know, they caught that flack for bringing in those guys. But, hell, at that time, they were an NWA promotion for the most part. It was still,
yeah.
That was the belt they were still toting around, so they kind of had to, but I just thought those guys were great.
Well, Jeff is, which I mean, you know, even though he stole my Chosen One gimmick, I was always a huge mark for the way Jeff Jarrett worked, and, you know, he's old school as they get, and, you know, his dad and all that. So, you know, they gave a great old school vibe to TNA, and then threw in the mix of the X Division, and, you know, I mean, I really think that earlier stuff, you know, I know they were going through, you know, financial woes and this, that, and the other with promoters screwing them around with the pay-per-view money and all that, but that, to me, that product was just, I thought it was gold, you know, because,
yeah,
like I said, it had a little mixture of everything in it, which I understand it does, it still to some point does now, but, you know, you're never going to get to see the Road Warriors and Nikita Koloff and Dusty Rhodes and all that on one big show ever again, you know, and it, so, you know.
Was AJ still at Wildside when you were there?
AJ, let's see, I think the last thing that AJ really did at Wildside was the feud with me, David, and him, or he might have come in, because it was right, it wasn't too far after that where I'd gotten hurt, and I didn't go to a few months worth of shows, and a lot of that time frame in my life is kind of blurry, so I'm not sure, but I know he would still work Wildside shows, but not near as often. But he was still doing TNA and Wildside, but I don't remember exactly how much he was doing.
It seems like his Georgia roots, and he's still billed from Gainesville, and, you know, people here know that he was there, but I still don't think he gets the credit for being here. You know, he's still not as sort of tapped to the scene as he maybe once was, because, you know, he was the guy, and to watch him sort of blow up the way he did was something I thought Georgia would kind of grab hold of a little more, and they just didn't.
Well,
for whatever reason,
I think when AJ came to the school, like his after he learned how to take some bumps. This is the one thing I remember about his training with whoever trained him. I don't know. I don't get the credit for it. So I don't know who it was that trained him or, you know, broke him into the business. But anyway, I remember I gave him a clothesline, and he took this bump, and he bumped so hard and so fast, he literally flew out of the ring. And I was just like, wow, that's your first bump, and you're gold. You know, and it was only a few more trainings after that where my partner at the time, business partner with NCW, was Steve Martin, not the actor. he came in, and I was like, dude, you got to see this guy. And he was just like, that guy right there is going to be a superstar. You know, we called it. I mean, he's one of those naturals, and I tell you, kind of a total tangent, and not really to hop around a lot, which I'm synonymous for. I tell you, somebody that that rivals that natural ability, and that's Fred Yehi. That guy's gold. You know, they say wrestlers like AJ are a needle in a haystack. Well, PCW and Steve Platinum had the haystack, and Fred Yehi is the needle. you know, that's just the only way to put it, and you mark my words, Fred Yehi will be a star. He will be a star.
I tell him every time I see him, don't you ever forget me, son. Just give me a ticket. Just leave me a ticket at the window. That's all I ask.
Yeah. You know, I told him, I said, you know, all I need you to do is just make sure you keep my phone number in your phone, keep ordering gear from me. And I said, I did tell him, I said, when you get a six-figure contract, we're going to have to talk price because your gear's going to go up. But no, I mean Steve Platinum, which I know, you know, we'll touch on him in a little bit. Steve Platinum is just one of the most amazing trainers I have absolutely ever met. I mean, he produced. I think he sits on the toilet and craps gold. I mean, that's, you know, hey, Steve, I need a superstar. Okay, let me go to the toilet. Up, oh, there you go. There's your gold nugget.
There's one. There, take that and go.
You know, he knows how to train his guys. He's good at what he does. I'll just touch on the Steve thing there.
Where did you head after, you know, you had your injury, you came back a little bit, you know, you kind of parted ways with Wildside. Where was the next stop for you?
Jail.
Well, maybe after that. We're,
okay.
That's the beauty of it. You only get the truth.
Well, you know what? Here's my whole take on it, guys. I mean, you know, either I hide under a rock or I face adversity and go head on. You know, I mean, people make mistakes. You know, people make mistakes. And here's my thing for people that are listening. Oh, this is great because this is only the second interview that I've ever – the only second wrestling interview, radio interview I've ever done. So I want to say this. If you want to judge me, judge me. But until you know the whole story, go fuck yourself. There you go. Anyway.
How many times have you gone to jail? I guess that's
– Oh, Jesus Christ. What is this? Is this a shoot promo now?
Well, you brought it up.
What, two times?
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. You'll have to ask Mark Henry when you talk to him. He's the one
that
always bails me out.
That's just one more than me. You're fine.
Mark's always the one that bails me out. So, you know.
That's not a bad card to get to play. Not a bad one to have.
I think I just touched a nerve with somebody. Somebody just texted me. Oh, they just texted me. Yeah, fucking laughing, rolling on the floor. That's great.
Well, it's funny because we also have a caller from a Florida number.
Oh, Jesus.
God.
You mind if we see who it is, Rick?
Yeah, if it gets crazy, you can cut him off.
Okay.
And if I owe you gear, it's in the mail.
All right. Well, we've got the caller on the line. Who is this?
Rick Michaels, I'm going to come to your house and kill you.
Oh, okay,
no,
cool.
I'm not really. This is Danny only. What's up, brother?
What's going on, brother?
Not much, man. Hey, I don't want to take your time, man. I was just calling because this is my last Monday in the U.S. of A. I'm in Indiana right now going through this dumbass training. I almost had an incident because we get one bus that runs to Walmart, and I tried to get on the bus, and people tried to keep me from getting on the bus, and I politely informed them that if I didn't get on the bus, I was going to set the motherfucker on fire. So I got on the bus.
Yes.
But I leave Friday to go to Afghanistan, man, so this, I just wanted this to be my last little, my finally last little peace out to everybody.
Well, brother, you be safe, you be safe over there and come home safe.
I will, man, I will. You guys keep everything going on and keep Georgia healthy so I can come back and kill it.
Hey, that's going to be my job. I hope you have a territory to come back to, because if these promoters keep using me, I'm bound to kill the territory or go to jail, one or the other.
Right on. Well, hey, man, you guys take care. Jonathan, Matt, as always, it was a pleasure. And hopefully when I come back, you guys are still around and I can jump back in.
Yeah, man.
Here, Danny. Damn it, I miss y'all,
guys,
right, son. Be careful.
You guys be good, man.
Take your prayer rug.
Hey, well, you want to know, here's a quick little funny thing. In the barracks that I'm in.
Oh, wait.
What the hell is that? That's great.
When you get here, they just assign you to a barracks, and it's wide open bays, so there's 10 bunk beds lining up and down the hall, and I just picked the closest one.
That sounds hot.
No, it's not. Shut up. Weird. But it was, I just picked the closest one to me, and then the next day when I woke up, because, oh yeah, by the way, I flew up here Saturday with food poisoning, so that sucked ass. But when I woke up Sunday, I looked around, and I was the only non-Muslim non-interpreter that was there. So I was in a bay where I was the only white person. It was pretty cool.
Wow. Well, if anybody pisses you off, super kick them.
Nah, man, they're all cool as hell to me, so I ain't worried about it. Anyway,
what?
Let y'all go, man. You guys keep doing what you're doing, man. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right, peace, bro.
Right, Danny.
Bye, Danny.
Well, he's got the beard for it. He should be fine.
Is it back to me now?
It's you, Rick.
To you.
We're back to you. We're back
Woo!
To green.
Anyway, where were we?
Jail, I think. But
you were in jail. We hadn't got out of jail just yet, so you were getting
no,
out
no,
of jail.
No, no, no. I really want to get out of jail, please.
All right.
Sick of
well,
being
after,
in jail.
I think what Matt was asking was, after your first trip to jail, where did you wrestle first after that?
I kind of touched on this in a promo I did for PCW, and God bless Steve Platinum for always letting me air my dirty laundry at a PCW show, even when I was totally in the wrong on things I said. But anyway, the first place I went was PCW. Went to PCW, and Mark had called me and said, Simon had called me and said, hell, it's Facebook, says Mark Henry, it doesn't matter. Anyway, Mark Henry told me about this promoter, and he's like, the gay gimmick's over, he's running a queer bar, and, you know, I'm going to get you involved. And I was like, sweet, queer bar, wrestling, awesome. So, anyway, I went to one of the shows, and was absolutely the first team that jumped out at me, and just I was blown away with was the Washington Bullets. And, you know, those guys are gold, too. That's one of Steve Platinum's gold nuggets there.
Two of them.
Yeah, two of them. Well, I don't know. That could be one big turd. Anyway, or one big gold. Anyway, so I went to PCW, and then, Nigel had hooked me up with I just went to watch the show, but me, you know, being a worker, I took my bag with me to Peach State. Took me to Peach State, and I was just back there, and they came and asked me and said, hey, Billy Love didn't show up. Can you wrestle Mike Jackson? And I'm like, You mean the Mike Jackson that was on the NWA for years? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, of course. You know, I'm a mark for old school. Whether you know, there was no jobber to me back then. You were all stars. So I'm like, cool, I get to work Mike Jackson. So I get dressed, and we're in the match, and we're about 20 minutes in, and I said, sir, I'm blowed slap up. And he goes, and I quote, I'm not, kid, I'm just getting started. Let's go.
We were on old school.
And, bro, I'm going to tell you something. I like to drop the man when he climbed. I mean, he did the old school on his own because I had no strength to hold his little wrinkly ass up on those ropes. That was my first shot with PC with Peach State. And do I work for a company that doesn't have a P in their name?
No.
Yeah, okay, action. Everybody else is P's. Oh, what the freak that is. Anyway, so got back to the back. He thanked me. Shane thanked me. Gave me my money and said, hey, what about your tag team partner you got? And I'm like, well, yeah, we can do it. And called Simon, told him about it. He was a little ambivalent about doing it, but he's like, yeah, we'll do it. And the rest is history. We took that company, and I have totally – Mark says I'm the biggest diva in the world when it comes to that company, and I am, because I have totally become the CM Punk of that company. I swear to God, this is what we want you to do. No, I don't like it. Let's do
no,
this.
No, I don't like it. I'll just do something
else. No, I don't like it. I don't want to do that. No, we want y'all to wrestle. No, I don't want to do that. You know, but that's I totally lay all the blame on Shane and Mike Jackson because they said that me and Simon put asses in the seats. Well, that's the wrong thing to tell Rick Michaels because I'm going to go diva on you in a heartbeat. You know, with all the bullshit I've gone through in my life, I'm still one of the most arrogant SOBs there are. Then I went from there, and then I started wrestling for once again, Simon got me hooked up with, at the time, they were MGCW.
MGCW.
Yeah,
yes.
MGCW. Now they're NWA Action. And it was a great promotion. It is a great promotion. The owner, Miss Jackie, lovely woman to work with, always straightforward. And I thought the two most arrogant... Well, the most arrogant person in that promotion was Andy Anderson. And me and Andy, you know, people think, oh, wrestling this and, you know, oh, they're all friends. This stuff between me and Andy is kind of legit. I don't know if it was the makeup or just, you know, just egos clashing or whatever, but Andy and I legitimately do not like each other. You know how they say wrestlers talk before their matches and all that stuff? When Bobby and I have a big, huge street fight, which Jackie came and told me is what we were doing, and I'm like, okay, I know what this is. But we have a huge street fight coming up on the 27th in Stockbridge, Georgia, on October 27th. And that's going to be a straight-up fight. You know, I mean, we legitimately don't get along. And it's, you know, he's just, I think he's arrogant. You know, I'm not attracted to him, so there's not anything I could like about him. You know,
he's got way too much meat on him for you to like.
Yeah. And I think he's in his 50s or 60s or something like that. No, I mean, he's in great shape, but I mean, it's just, man, I mean, it's just when we get in the ring together, it's just, I don't know what it is. I mean, we just want to beat the crap out of each other, and it's, you know, I don't mind that. You know, I'm used to doing that with Simon because, you know, Simon's a prick now, and I don't mind beating the crap out of him. But this thing and stuff, we didn't actually work each other. They came out and got involved in mine and Bobby's match Saturday in Locust Grove. And I mean, you see where the focus was attentioned with Andy. I mean, Andy came straight to me, and that's fine. You know, You may be bigger than me, but I'll punch you right in the face. You know,
and there's no title involved in any of that. That's just pure hate, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, the company's putting behind the putting the NWA Georgia. Who's calling me? Hey, Deion Johnson, I'm on a radio interview. I have to call you back. All right, love you, bye. Anyway, they're putting they're the NWA national or Georgia national. They're some champions, and Bobby and I are definitely going to get those titles.
That's Bobby Hayes.
Bobby Hayes, who's awesome as all get out. You know, Bobby's awesome. But anyway, we're gonna get those, and it's gonna be cool because I'm gonna add another title to my collection that I have. I'm going around promotions collecting titles. But the titles to me...
Yeah, that's kind of what you do.
The titles to me in this thing are kind of on the, you know, on the back burner, you know, because... And you guys both know me. I'm not one of these good guy, bad guy, you know, let's invent something to fight about. You know, there's too much emotion built up with me with wrestling. And... You know, this whole thing with Andy and his brother, that's easy because me and Andy just don't like each other. And I can guarantee you, y'all know Rick Michaels likes to fight. You know, he likes to brawl.
We know that.
And I can guarantee you, October the 27th, Bobby Hayes and myself, we're probably going to lose a lot of blood, but Andy and Axel are going to tote a major ass whipping. So that's just, you know, that's not really a good guy, bad guy plug. It's just a straightforward shoot that, you know, it's going to be a fight. You know, it's kind of weird that Jackie approached us with this Georgia street fight thing, because that's exactly what it's going to be, a fight, you know.
And that's in Stockbridge, right?
Stockbridge, Georgia, Stockbridge High School. On 404. This is hilarious. Yeah, I don't know who you are, faggot. Anyway, at the Stockbridge High School.
That's their big October Havoc with the Halloween Havoc logo.
October Havoc show.
Add another one to that day. Yeah, it's a wrestling pack that day. That's the day right there.
So make sure you come. I think they got Luke Gallows and
Buff Bagwell supposed to
Buff
be there.
Buff Bagwell and Johnny Swinger and then they added this other thing too, where Simon's going to be the special guest referee in the street fight.
Oh, wait a minute!
Simon Sermon's the guest.
Well, that brings us to a topic that we've been waiting to get to. But before we get to that, I actually want to ask you. Someone on Facebook told me to ask you if you're going to go after Sean Hunter's AIWF New South Championship. Is that something you have scheduled?
Who?
Okay.
I swear to God, I'm not trying to shoot on anybody. Just who? Sean Hunter?
Sean Hunter, the AIWF New South Champion.
Heck yeah! Hell yeah! I want another.
We'll take it.
I'll take it. I'm a belt mark. Ask Iceberg. Iceberg will tell you I'm the biggest belt mark there are. I used to buy them, but why buy them? That got expensive. Hell, I just beat people and take them.
Beat people and keep them.
All right.
But
well,
sure, Sean Hunter, I'm coming for you, brother.
Grass is grass, whatever.
Yeah. All right. And the AIWF heavyweight title. Southern champion title will be mine. Woo! Good promo.
All right. Well, before we get to the ongoing conflict between you and Simon Sermon, I have to ask, how did the whole thing happen at PWR? I know you had history there when it used to be TNT. And we had Jacob Ashworth on a couple weeks ago, and of course Jagged Edge was champion, and it just seems like it's a big, confusing jumble.
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna shoot with you on this one. I feel like, you know, they made a good choice in making me champion, but I kind of fell into the, you know, not to expose too much here, but I kind of fell into the Bret Hart syndrome where it's like, what do we do? Jagged got hurt, and that's like one of the most, he's one of the most talented guys I've ever met. He's super awesome. Tore his bicep. Jacob cracked his neck, broke his neck, whatever, you know, a crack is a break. So he broke his neck. So everything just kind of got changed, and it was like, you have to go for the title now. So, you know, I'm honored. I love the company. I love Jen Holbrook's speed. I mean, sales. Yeah, sorry. I love her to death. She's great to great to work for. So, you know, I love the company, and I'm honored to be their champion. And I understand that November the 4th, I just found out that they're bringing in Gunner from TNA, which, you know, I could really care less about, because I'm like, why, you know, I'm your champion, so why would you, you know, why would you focus on, you know. So I'll probably wind up, this is the way my luck goes with this company. I'll probably wind up wrestling Mystic Storm in the opening contest, and that will be a barn burner of a match, guaranteed to steal the show. So, but anyway, they're, you know, that's, but anyway, I'm honored to be their champion, and I defy anybody to try to take my belt, because I'm a belt marker.
Yeah, right.
Well, they also have a show this Sunday, I believe, right?
Yeah, they have. We have a show this Sunday at in Clayton. It's a six-man tag. It's me and Chad Silva and Zachary Blaine, Priceless Attraction, against Zach Daniels, Chris Damian, and Z Williams.
Okay.
I think I got his last name right.
You got him. You named them all.
Okay, yeah, that's a big six-man fiasco, and I love that because I get to stand on the ring, on the apron, and just cheer on my partner.
Direct traffic.
I will direct traffic. A six-man is right up my alley. Less is
now,
more.
Now, you mentioned Simon being the guest referee in NWA Action. If I'm not completely off my rocker, if I remember right, is he not also the guest referee in you and Stoney's match versus Shane Knowles?
I honestly believe that he's literally out to make my life miserable.
Well, Rick,
I would like.
Kind of,
I mean,
started.
Any promotion that I work for, you will know where Rick Michaels sits in the locker room, because there's an 5x7 picture of the Exotic Ones with Simon's face crossed out of every locker room that I wrestle for. That's also the Iggy, the boys don't sit in my chair. But anyway, you know, I'd like to go somewhere where he's not breathing down my neck. But this Saturday in Peach State, Stoney and I, which I think, you know, is a gorgeous, I mean, is a great partner. he and I are facing Shane Knowles and whatever schmuck he can dwindle up. And, of course, Simon Sermon is the special guest referee. Tommy Too Much is the guest enforcer on, and I hope he does more than King Mode was, you know, that guy was useless. But anyway, this October 27th, he's a guest special referee, which is kind of odd because the fans, Bobby and I are kind of, you know, they like us in NWA Action, which I love them, and I love the people in Locust Grove and Stockbridge. But they also love Simon. So it's kind of odd because I hate Simon, and Simon probably, you know, desperately wants me to be a partner again so, you know, he can get that rub and be a star again. You know, I understand teaming with Tommy is, you know, not the best in the world, but, hey, you made your bed, lay in it.
Hey, you Rick, know? We have a caller who – I
suspect has something to say about your PWR title reign.
Oh, wonderful. Is it Mystic Storm?
No, it's not Mystic Storm at all. I'm sitting here listening to It's a Wonderful Life featuring Rick Michaels, and it's a hell of a story. I'm enjoying it up to the point where he made a statement that is not true. Rick Michaels, you are not their champion. I am their champion. You understand? I don't see how. Being gone 2 weeks, they put a belt on you that don't belong to you. You're collecting things that are not yours. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. Guys released by the doctors in the gym. Rick Michaels, since you said you defy anybody that's going to take your belt, you don't have a belt. You're holding on to mine. I have no problem coming back getting what's mine, buddy. See you up there Sunday.
Oh, well, that just made things a little bit more interesting.
Fire.
You know, I'll treat you like I will Andy Anderson and Simon Thurman. I'll slap the piss right out of your face.
Yes, finally. Finally. Finally we agree
did
on
he
something.
Just do a drive-by?
He always does a drive-by, Rick. That's
did
what
he just
does.
Do a drive-by? You know, I used to respect. You know, I used to respect that prick. I used to respect him, and you know what? The only thing I respect about him is his gear. That's the only thing I respect about him. But that was very disrespectful to me, because I'm a champion of a company. Anyway, yeah. And wow, that was very disrespectful. Yeah, I'll see you Sunday. And I'm going to treat you like I would Mystic Storm. Anyway.
Finally.
That was
finally
a jagged edge.
Common ground, Rick. We're on common ground.
Wow. What a prick. Him and his dadgum drive-bys. Always screwing up a show. Anyway, back to me.
Back to Rick.
Well, I think, you know, we obviously we're getting into the Simon Sermon ordeal. But when you returned to the ring after your most recent trip to jail, it was at Peach State, and you attacked Simon Sermon and Tommy Too Much. Then that carried over into Platinum Championship Wrestling, and I don't know if that particular rivalry has carried over in other promotions yet, but obviously...
Well, I'm hoping that we can finally, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm hoping that they all of a sudden they bring in, you know, Simon to be the special guest referee at NWA Action. You know, as long as he just calls it down the middle and does what he's supposed to do and is, you know, an annoying referee like most of them are, he's fine. Just stay out of the way, you know. Because I'm already, you know, going to be in a fight with Andy Anderson and his brother. You know, the last thing I want to deal with is, you know, Simon Sermon, the original Mark Henry. That's the last thing I want to deal with, you know. But the whole thing behind Peach State, that was, you know, I felt the need to do it. You know, I'd gotten out literally that week. I got out of jail that Tuesday. They had a show that Saturday. And I clearly walked straight to the ring from the front door and got in the cage, you know, and did what I did. And that was, you know, you're supposed to be my best friend, but yet you don't write me or, you know, I can understand Atlanta to... You know, the county I was in was, you know, is a 3-hour trip, you know. But you could write me. You could answer the phone when I call you. But, you know, didn't want to do it. And so at that point, I just figured, you know what, piss on him. So that's been my mindset since then. And, you know, I feel like that, you know, Stoney's a way better looking partner. I mean, better talented partner.
Now, Rick, if I recall right, the last time that you went away, I'm a little volunteer for the state, you were supposed to be in Stockbridge that night with Simon. And Simon had to scramble to find a partner. And ultimately, I think he found Stephen Platinum. Do you think
well,
that
you know, he finally did, you know, when I went away. That was okay because he replaced me with somebody that is equally apt to pick up a chair and throw it at the TV as I am, and that's Steve Platinum. And if you're never in the locker room, you had no idea what I'm talking about. But you know, that was fine. That was good. And you know, thank you, Steve, for, you know, covering for me while I was on vacation.
Well,
so,
Rick, BFFs have been in the middle of all that out at Peach State as well, and now Simon Sermon and Tommy Toomuch's version of the Exotic Ones have been feuding with them, and they've got a match on the 28th down at Rampage. Is there any chance we'll see you down there again?
I have never say never. Probably, you know, I mean, I'm there's no telling what's going to happen. They've been going through a lot of changes. You know, I think that I think it'll be a good, you know, good feud. You know, who knows? We'll, like I said, never say never, which is a great Justin Bieber song. Never say never. Anyway, sorry. sorry, twink moment.
Yeah.
Hey, he's legal. Shut up. He's legal. Shut up. I can say it.
When you play in the league, you play it, Rick. You got to be on the up and up.
But yeah, like I said, never say never. I wish Rampage, you know, all the success in the world. I've, you know, followed a little bit of what they're doing, and they're doing, you know, the business seems to be doing good for them. So, you know, once again, it's a promotion that you know what? I never get this many text messages. It's a promotion that is smart because they know that, you know, this is the nicest thing I'll say about the other Exotic Ones. The Exotic Ones are, you know, an interesting item and, you know, are good on a show. So, you know, kudos to Rampage for bringing back the Exotic Ones or the other Exotic Ones. So, you know, that's my thing about the BFF and Simon and Tommy at Rampage. I don't know if I covered it, but I tried to do it as politically correct as I could.
I think you did a fine job. Larry, one thing about you, and you kind of hit on this with what you were trying to end up with action, and you don't change what you do to cater to or really to antagonize the fans. And when you and Simon first started running in PCW, like you said, you're in a really friendly area. You're in a gay nightclub, so it worked well there. And then you went to other places, and the fans didn't take to you as well. How did you feel about, like, when people started turning around and actually getting behind you, and you hadn't changed anything? Did it mean anything to you, or was it just that part of it?
It's 2012. It's no secret, and if it is a secret, Simon and I are open homosexuals. And it comes across in our gimmicks, the Exotic Ones on behalf of the Simon side and my side, is not a gimmick. It's a lifestyle. 2012, homosexuality is a little more accepted than it was a few years ago. But I think what they saw was two Fruit Loops wearing makeup and flashing around in flashy outfits, and then they got in the ring, and it's like, holy shit, these guys are badasses. They're like queer road warriors. you know? So whether I'm a heel or whether I'm a face, I'm not going to change what I do. If I feel like I need to take my chain off of my neck and smack somebody in the head, I'm going to do it, you know. I love getting the cheers because that's more gimmick sales. And, you know, another thing OC1 loves is gimmick sales. So if you're any fans out there listening and you ever are at a show that Rick Michaels is at, make sure you stop by the gimmick stand. Masks, $10. Pictures, $5. Belts, $10. Anyway, self-plug there. Yeah, I'm going to make money off this interview, guys.
Might as well. Get something out of it.
but no, it you know, I'm not going to change. So I knew when we were that was another thing that kind of ticked me off. Before I'd went away, I told Simon, I was like, look, we kind of need to change the direction we're going in for who we're facing, because these fans are starting to like us. No, it'll never work. Yeah, it will. Trust me. We're going to be over like Rover. No, they'll never love us. So then I go away, and then that's why I'm not saying the county I was in, but, you know, I had access to look on the internet at things, and I saw where they were, you know, like big fan favorites, Tommy and Simon. And that pissed me off because I'm like, now you do it? You know, I tried to get you to do it for 3 months and you wouldn't do it, you know? So, you know, that was another thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But I knew that, you know, in the, you know, right direction, the exotic ones can be, you know, can be over as baby faces. And we're proving that as we're proving that in NWA action too, you know, because I had the whole, you know, faggot chant and queer and da 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 and all that shit. And now they, you know, cheer for me, high five me and love me and buy my gimmicks. So I love them.
Just as we suspected, an hour would not cover it.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Because I haven't even put over Steve Platinum yet.
We're a slap out of time, Rick.
Steve Platinum, I swear to God, it's Danny Only and that idiot Crooked Edge's fault. They took the time I was going to put you over. Steve Platinum, I love you. I think you're the greatest thing in the world, and I am a Paul Heyman. I mean, a Paul shit. I'm a Steve Platinum guy.
All right. Well, maybe we can have you call in again and talk for another hour sometime soon, Rick.
I would love to because I have more to say.
Rick Michaels, Steve and Platinum edition.
Yeah, because Steve Platinum's awesome.
Yeah.
So is that it? Is my time up?
Well,
never let them host this show, Jonathan. We'll never get it back.
is my hour up, really?
The hour is up, and I think you did say quite a few good things about Stephen Platinum. So,
well, okay. Well, I did put over Bill Barron. Okay, I put over people I wanted to put over.
And
my
you
promotions
didn't say
that I love.
Bad about anybody.
This yeah, I love everybody except for Simon Sermon, Andy Anderson, and now Crooked Edge. Andy Anderson, I can't wait to this fight. Oh, it's going to be good. I love shoot fights. Anyway, there you go.
All right,
I'm done. Am I done? Am I wrapped up?
Thank you for
your release, sir.
You're only your second wrestling radio interview. I appreciate you doing that.
Anytime, guys, and I look forward to doing it again.
All right, well, you have a good night.
Thank you, Rick.
Have some good matches over the next several weeks, and I'm sure we'll be at some of those.
All right, guys, I appreciate it.
All right, thanks a lot.
Oh, bye-bye.
So I guess on that note, next week's guests are Strychnine, who I think briefly wants to call in and talk about the Fright Night show at Anarchy as well as APW. And I'm looking at my notes real quick. Well, there's the PWL, which is Navy Blues or Rogue Navy or whatever he's going by these days. I think it's called the People's Wrestling League, which is in Atlanta. So they're kind of picking up where PCW left off in a sense. But their first show is coming up. So I think he's going to call in next week or someone from that promotion is. And a guy named DeWitt Dawson, who I believe Jagged Edge is friends with out in UIW. I have not yet seen this guy, but I've heard about him. And he has asked if he could call in and talk about UIW's next show with, I guess, Shane Marks has a big match there. And he's been handling Shane Marks' business affairs out there. So that's all next week.
We're stacked again, I suppose.
And another reminder for anyone who wants to send Rich Tate a new ad for their wrestling shows or promotions, you can record a 30-second demo and send it to rich@georgiawrestlinghistory.com. And I guess that's it. Please check out wrestlingwithpopculture.com and gwhnews.com. And you got anything? Matt Hankins?
I think we've hit them all tonight, boys.
All right. Well, it was a good show, and you and I didn't really have to contribute a whole lot.
That was great. Excellent.
So thanks again to Rick Michaels. Thanks to Danny Only for calling in as he's leaving the country, I guess. And that's it. We'll be back next week at 7.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.